then thou shalt have a scalding hot remembrance of all thy sinful thoughts, words, and actions, from the very first to the last of them, that ever thou didst commit in all thy lifetime. Then thou wilt find that scripture to be a truth. The Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 65 through 67. Nay, thou wilt find worse things to thy woe than this scripture doth manifest. For indeed, there is no tongue able to express the horror, terror, torment, and eternal misery that those poor souls shall undergo, without the least mitigation of ease, and a very great part of it shall come from that quick, full, and continual remembrance of their sins that they shall have. And therefore, there is much weight in these words, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. From these words you see this is to be observed, that the ungodly shall remember, or have in remembrance, the misspending their lives. Remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things. You may take these words, good things, either simply for the things of this world, which in themselves are called, and may be called good things, or else with these words, namely the things of this life, all the pleasures, delights, profits, and vanities, which the ignorant people of the world do count their good things, and do very much cheer themselves therewith. Soul, soul, eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Luke chapter 12, verses 19 and 20. Now I say, God, according to his glorious power and wisdom, will make poor creatures have always in their minds a fresh and clear remembrance of their ill-spent life. He will say unto them, Remember, remember, that in thy lifetime it was thus and thus with thee, and in thy lifetime thy carriage was so and so. If sinners might have their choice, they would not have their sins and transgressions so much in the remembrance, as it is evident by their carriages here in this world. For they will not endure to entertain a serious thought of their filthy life. They put far away the evil day, Amos chapter 6, verse 3, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 27. But will labor by all means to put the thoughts of it out of their mind. But there they shall be made to remember to purpose, and to think continually of their ungodly deeds. And therefore it is said, that when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to judgment, it will be to convince the ungodly world of their wicked and ungodly deeds. Mark, to convince them, Jude 14 and 15. They will not willingly take notice of them now, but then they shall hereafter, in spite of their teeth. And also, between this and then, these that die out of Christ shall be made to see, acknowledge, and confess, do what they can, when they lift up their eyes in hell and remember their transgressions. God will be a swift witness against them, Malachi 3, verse 5, and will say, Remember that thou didst in thy lifetime, how thou didst live in thy lifetime. Ha, friend! If thou dost not in these days of light remember the days of darkness, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 8, the days of death, hell, and judgment, thou shalt be made in the days of darkness, death, hell, and at the judgment too, to remember the days of the gospel, and how thou didst disregard them too, to thine own destruction and everlasting memory. This is intimated in that 25th verse, or 25th chapter of St. Matthew. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, Part 4. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. The great God, instead of giving the ungodly any ease, will even aggravate their torments, first by slighting their perplexities, and by telling of them what they must be thinking of. Remember, saith he, O ye lost souls, that you had your joy in your lifetime, your peace in your lifetime, your comforts, delights, ease, wealth, health, your heaven, your happiness, and your portion in your lifetime. O miserable state, thou wilt then be in a sad condition indeed, when thou shalt see that thou hadst had thy good things, thy best things, thy pleasant things, for that is clearly signified by these words. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, or all the good things thou art like to have. Second, from whence, take notice of another truth, though it be a dreadful one, which is this. There are many poor creatures who have all their good, sweet, and comfortable things in this life, or while they are alive in this world. Remember, saith he, that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things. Psalm 17, verse 14. The wicked's good things will shortly have an end. They will last no longer with them than this life or their lifetime. That scripture was not written in vain. It is like the crackling of thorns under a pot. Make a little blaze for a sudden, then a little heat for a while, but come and consider them by and by, and instead of a comfortable heat, you will find nothing but a few dead ashes, and instead of a flaming fire, nothing but a smell of smoke. There is a time coming that the ungodly would be glad of a better portion when they shall see the vanity of this, that this, when they shall see what a poor thing it is for a man to have his portion in this world. It is true, while they are here on this side hell, they think there is nothing to be compared with riches, honors, and pleasures in this world, which makes them cry out, Who will show us any good? Psalm 4, verse 6. That is comparable to the pleasures, profits, and glory of this world. But then they will see there is another thing that is better and of more value than 10,000 worlds. And seriously, friends, will it not grieve you, trouble, perplex, and torment you, when you shall see that you lost heaven for a little pleasure and profit in your lifetime? Certainly, it will grieve you and perplex you exceedingly to see what a blessed heaven you left for a dunghill world. Oh, that you did but believe this, that you did but consider this, and say within yourselves, What? Shall I be contented with my portion in this world? What? Shall I lose heaven for this world? I say, consider it while you have daylight and gospel light, while the Son of God doth hold out terms of reconciliation to you, lest you be made to hear such a voice as is this. Son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest thy good things, thy comforts, thy joys, thy ease, thy peace, and all the heaven thou art like to have. O poor heaven, O short pleasures! What a pitiful thing it is to be left in such a case. Soul, consider. It is not miserable to lose, or is it not miserable to lose heaven for 20, 30, or 40 years sinning against God? When thy life is done, thy heaven is also done. When death comes to separate thy soul and body, in that day also thou must have thy heaven and happiness separated from thee, and thou from that. Consider these things betimes, lest thou have thy portion in thy lifetime. For if in this life only we have hope, our portion, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. And again consider that when other men, the saints, are to receive their good things, then thou hast had thine. When others are to enter into joy, then thou art to leave and depart from thy joy. When others are to go to God, thou must go to the devil. O miserable! Thou hadst better thou hadst never been born than to be an heir of such a portion. Therefore I say, have a care, it be not thy condition. Remember that thou receivest thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. These words do not only hold forth the misery of the wicked in this life, but also great consolation to the saints, where he saith, and Lazarus evil things, that is, Lazarus had his evil things in his lifetime, or when he was in the world, from whence observe. Number one, that the life of the saints, so long as they are in this world, is attended with many evils or afflictions, which may be discovered to be of diverse natures, as saith the Scriptures. Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Psalm 34, verse 19. Number 2. Take notice that the afflictions or evils that accompany the saints may continue with them their lifetime, so long as they live in this vale of tears. Yea, and they may be diverse, that is, of several sorts, some outward, some inward, and that as long as they shall continue here below, as hath been the experience of all the saints in all ages. And this might be proved at large, but I only hint in these things, although I might enlarge much upon them. Number 3. The evils that do accompany the saints will continue with them no longer than their lifetime. And here indeed lies the comfort of believers, the Lazaruses, the saints, that they must have all their bitter cup wrung out to them in their lifetime. Here must be all their trouble. Here must be all their grief. Behold, saith Christ, the world shall rejoice, but ye shall lament. But your mourning shall, mark, it be turned into joy. John chapter 16, verse 20. You shall lament. You shall be sorrowful. You shall weep in your lifetime. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And your joy, no man, let him be what he will, no man shall take away from you. Now, if you think when I say the saints have all their evil things in their lifetime, that I mean they have nothing else but trouble in this their lifetime, this is your mistake. For let me tell you that though the saints have all their evil things in their lifetime, yet even in their lifetime they also have joy unspeakable and full of glory, while they look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The joy that the saints have sometimes in their heart, by a believing consideration of the good things to come, when this life is ended, doth fill them fuller of joy than all the crosses, troubles, temptations, and evils that accompany them in this life can fill them with grief. 2 Corinthians 4. But some saints may say, my troubles are such as are ready to overcome me. Answer, yet be of good comfort. They shall last no longer than thy lifetime. But my trouble is, I am perplexed with a heart full of corruption and sin, so that I am much hindered in walking with God. Answer, it is like so, but thou shalt have these troubles no longer than thy lifetime. But I have a cross husband that is a great grief to me. Well, but thou shalt be troubled with him no longer than thy lifetime, and therefore be not dismayed, be not discomforted. Thou shalt have no trouble longer than this lifetime. Art thou troubled with cross children, cross relations, cross neighbors? They shall trouble thee no longer than this lifetime. Art thou troubled with a cunning devil, with unbelief? Yea, let it be what it will. Thou shalt take thy farewell of them all, if thou be a believer, after thy lifetime is ended. Oh, Excellent. Then God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes, and there shall be no more death nor sorrow, nor neither crying, nor any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. But now, on the contrary, if thou be not a right and sound believer, then, though thou shouldst live 1,000 years in this world, and meet with sore afflictions every day, yet these afflictions, be they never so great and grievous, they are nothing to that torment that will come upon thee, both in soul and in body, after this life is ended. I say, be what thou wilt, if thou be found in unbelief, or under the first covenant, thou art sure to smart for it at the time when thou dost depart this world. But the thing to be lamented is, for all this, so sad a condition to be fallen into, yet poor souls are, for the most part, senseless of it, yea, so senseless at some times, as though there were no such misery to come hereafter. Because the Lord doth not immediately strike with his sword, but doth bear long with his creature, waiting that he might be gracious. Therefore, I say, the hearts of some of the sons of men are wholly set upon it to do mischief, Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. And that forbearance and goodness of God, that one would think should lead them to repentance, the devil hardening of them by continuing in sin and by blinding their eyes as to the end of God's forbearance towards them, they are led away with a very hardened and senseless heart, even until they drop into eternal destruction. But, poor hearts, they must have a time in which they must be made sensible of their former behaviors, when the just judgments of the Lord shall flame about their ears, insomuch that they shall be made to cry out again with anguish, I am sorely tormented in this flame. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. As if he should say, Now hath God recompensed both Lazarus and you, according to what you sought after while you were in this world. As for your part, you did neglect the precious mercy and goodness of God. You did turn your back on the Son of God that came into the world to save sinners. You made a mock of preaching the gospel. You was admonished over and over to close in with the loving kindness of the Lord in his Son Jesus Christ. The Lord let you live 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, all which time you, instead of spending it to make your calling and election sure, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, did spend it in making of eternal damnation sure to thy soul, Job 21, verses 29 and 30. And also, Lazarus, he in his lifetime did make it his business to accept of my grace and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. When thou wast in the alehouse, he frequented the word preached. When thou wert jeering at goodness, he was sighing to the sins of the times. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. While thou wert swearing, he was praying. In a word, while thou wert making sure of eternal ruin, he, by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, was making sure of eternal salvation. Therefore, now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Here then you may see that as the righteous shall not always be always void of comfort and blessedness, so neither shall the ungodly go always without their punishment. As sure as God is in heaven, it will be thus. They must have their several portions, and therefore, you that are the saints of the Lord, follow on. Be not dismayed, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Your portion is eternal glory, and you that are so loath now to close in with Jesus Christ and to leave your sins to follow him, your day is coming. Psalm 37, verse 13. In which you shall know that your sweet morsels of sin that you do so easily take down, Job chapter 20, verses 12 through 14, and it scarce troubles you, you will have a time so to work within you to your eternal ruin, that you will be in a worse condition than if you had 10,000 devils tormenting of you. Nay, you had better have been plucked limb from limb 1,000 times, if it could be, than to be partakers of this torment that will, assuredly without mercy, lie upon you. Verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. These words are still part of that answer that the souls in hell shall have for all their sobbings, sighings, grievous cries, tears, and desires that they have to be released out of those intolerable pains they feel and are perplexed with. And oh, methinks the words at the first view, if rightly considered, are enough to make any hard-hearted sinner in the world to fall down dead. The verse I last spake to was and is a very terrible one, and aggravates the torments of poor sinners wonderfully, where he saith, Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus evil things, etc. I say, these words are very terrible to those poor souls that die out of Christ. But these latter words do much more hold out their sorrow. They were spoken as to present condition upon the sinner. These do not only back the former, but do yet further aggravate their misery, holding forth that which will be more intolerable. The former verse is enough to smite any sinner into a swoon, but this is to make him fall down dead, where he saith, And beside all this, there is still something to aggravate thy misery yet far more abundantly. I shall briefly speak to the words as they have relation to the terror spoken of in the verses before. As if he had said, Thou thinkest thy present state unsupportable. It makes thee sob and sigh. It makes thee to rue the time that ever thou wert born. Now thou findest the want of mercy. Now thou wouldst leap at the least dram of it. Now thou feelest what it is to slight the tenders of the grace of God. Now it makes thee to sob, sigh, and roar exceedingly for the anguish that thou art in. But beside all this, I have other things to tell thee of that will break thine heart indeed. Thou art now deprived of a being in the world. Thou art deprived of hearing the gospel. The devil hath been too hard for thee, and hath made thee miss of heaven. Thou art now in hell among an innumerable company of devils, and all thy sins beset thee round. Thou art all over wrapped in flames, and canst not have one drop of water to give thee any ease. Thou criest in vain, for nothing will be granted. Thou seest the saints in heaven, which is no small trouble to thy damned soul. Thou seest that neither God nor Christ takes any care to ease thee, or speak any comfort unto thee. But beside all this, there thou art. And there thou art like to lie, never to think of any ease, never look for any comfort. Repentance now will do thee no good. The time is past, and can never be called again. Look what thou hast now, thou must have forever. It is true, I spoke enough before to break thine heart asunder, but beside all this, there lie and swim in flames forever. These words, beside all this, are terrible words indeed. I will give you the scope of them in a similitude. Set the case, you should take a man, and tie him to a stake, and with red-hot pinchers, pinch off his flesh by little pieces for 2 or 3 years together, and at last, When the poor man cries out for ease and help, the tormentors answer, "Nay, but beside all this, you must be handled worse. We will serve you thus these 20 years together, and after that we will fill your mangled body full of scalding lead, or run you through with a red-hot spit. Would this not be lamentable? Yet this is but a flea-biting to the sorrow of those that go to hell. For if a man were served so there, would, before it were long, be an end of him. But he that goes to hell shall suffer 10,000 times worse torments than these, and yet shall never be quite dead under them. There they shall be ever whining, pining, weeping, mourning, ever tormented without ease, and yet never dissolved into nothing. If the biggest devil in hell might pull thee all to pieces, and rend thee small as dust, and dissolve thee into nothing, thou wouldst count this a mercy. But here thou mayest lie, and fry, scorch, and broil, and burn forever. Forever! That is a long while, and yet it must be so long. Depart from me, ye cursed, saith Christ, into everlasting fire, into the fire that burns forever, prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, verse 41. O, thou that wast loath to foul thy foot, if it were but dirty, or did but rain, thou that wast loath to come out of the chimney corner, if the wind did blow but a little cold, and was loath to go half a mile, yea, half a furlong, to hear the word of God, if it were but a little dark, thou that wast loath to leave with a few vain companions, to edify thy soul, thou shalt have fire enough, thou shalt have night enough, and evil company enough, thy bellyful, if thou miss of Jesus Christ, and beside all this, thou shalt have them forever and forever. O thou that dost spend whole nights in carding and dicing, in rioting and wantonness, thou that countest it a brave thing to swear as fast as the bravest, to spend with the greatest spendthrift in the country, thou that lovest to sin in a corner when nobody else sees thee, O thou that for by ends dost carry on the hypocrite's profession, because thou wouldst be counted somebody among the children of God, but art an enemy to the things of Christ in thine heart. Thou that dost satisfy thyself either with sins or a bare profession of godliness, thy soul will fall into extreme torment and anguish, so soon as ever thou dost depart this world, and there thou shalt be weeping and gnashing thy teeth, Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. And beside all this, thou art like never to have any ease or remedy, never look for any deliverance. Thou shalt die in thy sins, and be tormented as many years as there are stars in the firmament, or sands on the seashore. And beside all this, thou must abide it forever. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There is a great gulf fixed. You will say, what is that? Answer. It is a nice question. Therefore, number one, see thou rather to enter in at the strait gate than curiously to inquire what this gulf is. But, number two, if thou wouldst needs know if thou do fall short of heaven, thou wilt find it this, namely, the everlasting decree of God. That is, there is decree gone forth from God that those who fall short of heaven in this world, God has resolved that they shall never enjoy it in the world to come.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.